War on the Great Siege of Malta, which took place on the 18th of May, began on the 18th of May, 1565. If it had not taken place, the Great Siege would no doubt have been dreamt up for the screenplay of an epic film. By the way, this is a story that I got from one of the more finer, historically accurate websites that publishes stories of the Crusades and the Crusaders. Few other historic episodes rival it for sheer heroism, the bloodshed of war, and military strategy. Voltaire is quoted as saying, "Rien est plus connu que le siège de Malta." Nothing is so well known as the Siege of Malta. Yes, my French stinks. The story of the siege, but I'm working on it. The story of the siege is interwoven with the tale of two adversaries, the aged Grand Master, Jean Patissot de la Valette, and his contemporary, the Barbary Corsair, Dragut Reis, or Reyes, who commanded the fleet of Sultan Suleiman the Magnificent. There's also the story of thousands of lives of Maltese islanders, men-at-arms to the Knights of St. John. The years leading up to the siege saw the islands under constant threat from the Ottoman Turks. In 1551, the Ottomans carried out an audacious raid, which saw most of Gozo's population captured and taken into slavery. So for those of you to think that we're the first people to ever suffer beheadings and capturings and all the other atrocities that ISIS and Hydra and S.H.I.E.L.D. and all the rest of these jihadi madmen are perpetrating, you're just wrong. We're not unique. Just because we're Americans, just because we're Western, they hate us forever. No, why do they hate the Maltese then? How did Michael Caine say it in the Batman movie? "No, Mr. Wayne. Some men just want to see the world burn." He should have said some Muslim men just want to see the world burn. Back to the story. In 1559, the knights responded, but with a disastrous attack on the Ottoman stronghold, Jerba, on the Tunisian coast. The knights knew they were vulnerable in Malta despite the harbors and their two forts, San Angelo, which is now Vittoriosa, and the newly built San Elmo, on the open peninsula of Mount Skiberos, overlooking the harbors, later known as Grand Harbor and Marsamexit Harbor. Grandmaster La Valette had done his best to build defenses and had requested extra forces from the Emperor Charles V, the Pope, and the Viceroy of Sicily, but no help came. In May of 1565, a vast Ottoman fleet, and you heard Michael Davies talking about this, some 40,000 men lay siege to the islands. The knights were heavily outnumbered, with a mere 700 or so men and around 8,000 Maltese regular troops. The islanders took refuge in the fortified towns of Medina and Bergu, Vittoriosa today, destroying crops and poisoning wells as they fled. The Ottomans first decided to attack isolated Fort San Elmo on the Skiberos Peninsula because of its commanding position between the two harbors. Repeated assaults were launched for over 36 days, but the small garrison of knights held onto the fort for far longer than Suleiman's men anticipated. After 4 weeks, they finally overran San Elmo, but at a heavy price, the loss of 8,000 men. The Turkish commander, Dragut, was fatally injured during the taking of San Elmo. Under his co-commander, Mustafa Pasha, the Ottoman troops now had San Angelo in their sights. It is the battle for San Angelo which saw some of the bloodiest episodes of this holy war. It was the basis of legends for centuries to come. Mustafa Pasha was to launch some 10 attacks on the walls of San Angelo and the fortified three cities throughout the long, hot summer of 1565. Even on the 18th of August, when a huge part of the defenses were breached, the Ottomans failed to take the fort. Valette himself had even entered the battle fray, and despite the uneven odds for success, he had refused to accept the Ottomans' terms of surrender. So they took St. Elmo, and then they started battering St. Angelo. But they couldn't take the fort of St. Angelo. You just have to understand here. These Christian knights and the regulars, and by the way, the island of Malta at the time was a Catholic island and still remains under a Catholic-based government today. That's all they had to defend. maybe 8,000 men. At one point in the battle, the Ottomans floated the headless. And this, I just love this part of the story. For those of you that just, if you want an episode of Carnage that is as violent and vicious yet savory as that which the jihadi, murderous jihadis, have visited upon orange jumpsuited Christians on the beaches of Libya, in the sands of Syria and Iraq. What happened was Valette, the commander of the Knights of St. John, in the battles, St. Elmo, hand-to-hand battles, and in the battles, the Battle of St. Elmo and St. Angelo, members of the Turkish army were captured. And they were taken up to a prison. Well, there were also members of the Order of the Knights of St. John that were taken. And one of the sieges of St. Angelo, the Pasha ordered the execution of those knights. They were prisoners of war. They're supposed to be treated as prisoners of war. And they weren't treated as prisoners of war because that's the Muslims don't acknowledge these treaties. They conducted their affairs as they wanted to conduct them. And what Vatel did then, as Mustafa Pasha was getting closer and closer to San Angelo, as he ordered the Turks that he had in captivity, tried them, found them as spies, as enemies of the state, and they executed them. They beheaded them. So what they did was, Pasha just could not believe, Mustafa Pasha just could not believe the Maltese wouldn't surrender. He couldn't believe it. And he wasn't going to go back to Suleiman the Great and tell him, yeah, dude, we pounded that fort, but those guys, yeah, they were a match for us. Now, he ultimately did, and Suleiman had him executed. actually, he would execute him after he lost the Battle of Lepanto, too, because they went back and they tried this again several years later at Lepanto, and Pasha was ultimately killed by Don John in the Battle of Lepanto. But anyways, so they took the beheaded, they took the heads of the Turks. Some of you will appreciate this. They stuffed them into their larger cannons, and they fired them on the Muslim ships. And the Turks were just shocked. They couldn't believe that it wasn't cannonballs that were hitting the ships. Instead, it was the heads of their fallen comrades. And that's the part of the story that's being described here that I'm reading to you today. At one point in the battle, the Ottomans floated the headless corpses of captured knights across the Grand Harbor. The act was returned in kind. Valette ordered all Ottoman prisoners to be executed and their heads used as cannonballs to fire back towards their compatriots in San Elmo. By September, the Ottomans were concerned about having to remain in Malta during the winter, and their morale began to ebb. At this point, Vatel's long-awaited relief forces appeared at Maliha Bay and took control of high ground inland. Almost trapped, the Ottoman troops retreated, but not before losing thousands more men. The great siege of Malta ended on the 8th of September, commemorated today with a public holiday, Il Vittoria. The epilogue to the siege was twofold. The Knights of St. John in Malta had seriously diminished the power of the Ottomans, and Malta's magnificent capital of Valletta was founded by and named after Grand Master Jean de la Valette. Valletta was to be not only a fortress city, but the cultural home to some of the finest works of the 16th to 18th century Europe. Valletta himself was buried in the city some 3 years later.